Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew chapter 28 in your Scofield Bible, page 1043. We'll be reading the first six verses, and as most usually, we'll read the verses responsively. And shall we stand, as we always do, for the reading of the Word of God? In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for this church. We're reminded of the resurrection continually. But at least once in a while, some of the rest of the world thinks about it upon this day, Easter Sunday. We do pray that you would help us as we're here under the preaching of our preacher, the man you called here more than 40 years ago. And how we thank you that we reap the benefit of his years of ministry here. And now today's no different. We once again get to hear our favorite preacher. We pray that you'd bless now and help us in this hour to gain from the service. And in order to gain something from the service, we have to invest our attention and our commitment to hearing thy word. And so bless us on this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
I told Mrs. Hiles this morning at the table, I find it rather difficult to preach an Easter sermon. I told her I have prepared one, but I find it rather difficult to preach it. I enjoy preaching to the needs of the people. And I realize that on Easter Sunday, a message on the resurrection is not necessarily the type of sermon that I would normally preach on a Sunday morning. And I certainly always want to meet the needs of our people. However, it is Easter Sunday, and I think we'll just sort of park at the empty tomb for a while, take a peek in, and talk about the resurrection of our Lord. I want to speak this morning on what really happened at the empty tomb. What really happened? I was thinking that if I were sitting anywhere near Brother Laurent down here, he may get happy and start swinging that walking stick after a while. I would suggest you folks move away a little bit from Brother Laurent this morning. Please give me a good hearing, and let's not only go to church on Easter, but let's be at church on Easter for the next while. Father, help me as I speak. How can you adequately preach on the resurrection? How can you properly magnify a living Christ as he deserves? I have a mortal mind, a mortal tongue, and yes, I'm afraid a mortal heart. But I want to do what I can this morning to help us to rejoice in the fact that the grave is empty. He's not here. He's risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to rejoice as we leave and throughout the day on Easter Sunday. Amen. May I ask you, please, to pay special attention to the first part of my message. It's somewhat a review, and yet it must be given in order for you to understand the message. Let me tell you this morning the real meaning of the resurrection. Follow me carefully. 3,500 years ago, God told Moses to build a tabernacle. He told Moses to put outside, just outside that tabernacle, what was called, look at me now, follow me carefully, what was called a brazen altar. It was on that altar where the animal sacrifices were made and where the blood of the animal was shed. He likewise told Moses to put not only just outside that tabernacle a brazen altar, but inside that tabernacle, in fact, in the innermost part of that tabernacle, a mercy seat. He instituted then a ritual or a festival called the Day of Atonement. May I have your attention, as I tell you, basically a part of what the Day of Atonement was all about. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest, the only one had one high priest in all of Israel, he was the religious leader of all of Israel, the spiritual leader. The high priest on the Day of Atonement would come to that altar where a sacrificial animal had been offered. He would take a basin and put the blood that that animal had just shed in that basin. Now bear in mind, we're just outside the tabernacle starting right here, and the high priest would take the blood of that animal sacrifice and take that blood inside the tabernacle itself to the innermost part called the Holy of Holies, where was the mercy seat. And he would take the blood of that lamb that was slain out there and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And that was called the Day of Atonement. And once again, the sins of Israel had been atoned for, as it were, symbolically for another year. Now then, the shedding of the blood was necessary, but that would not do it. If the blood had stayed there at the altar, the people's sins would not have been atoned for. That blood there at the altar must get over there at the mercy seat. Now, a regular normal priest could not take the blood there. And a layman could not take the blood there. A Levite could not take the blood there. That blood must be taken by a particular person, and that person was the high priest. So here was the lamb slain here on the altar, his blood taken by the designated person, the high priest, and sprinkled there on the mercy seat at the presence of God himself, as God was symbolized by the Shekinah glory there above the mercy seat. 3,500 years ago, likewise, Moses was told to institute what we call the Passover. The Jews were in bondage, in captivity, and God said to Moses, you tell to each family to take a lamb without blemish, a lamb that is a male lamb without blemish, and have that male lamb observed and examined for 4 days between what is our April 10th and our April 14th, to be sure that that lamb is a satisfactory lamb without blemish. Are you listening to me? So he said, then after those 4 days, I want you to kill that lamb. Once again, let's suppose we're in the backyard here of a Jewish residence. And he says, kill that lamb. But he said, that isn't enough. I want the blood of that lamb taken and sprinkled on the doorpost of the house. And then during the night, a death angel is going to pass over and take the firstborn from every household in Egypt, where the blood is not applied. So if you want your firstborn child to live, you've got to kill the lamb out here. But that's not enough. You've got to take that blood and sprinkle that blood on the doorpost. Not just the lamb slain, but the blood of the lamb applied was necessary. Now then, the lamb was not enough. There must be a high priest. The brazen altar was not enough. There must be a mercy seat, and the killing of the Passover lamb was not enough. There must be a doorpost. So when John the Baptist stood on the banks of Jordan and shouted, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, there's the Lamb. But that isn't enough. Oh, listen to me. The angel has got to say, he is not here. He is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? So John the Baptist was announcing, here's a lamb that'll be slain on the brazen altar of the cross, but that's not enough. The blood of that lamb has to be taken and sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven before the salvation's price has been totally paid. So I'll say this again, the blood shed, that's necessary, but that's not all that's necessary. The blood must be applied. So, on the Day of Atonement,
The blood of that innocent lamb must be shed. That blood must be taken by the high priest and sprinkled on the mercy seat. And on the Passover, that little lamb must be slain out here, say, in the backyard. But the blood of that lamb must be taken and sprinkled on the doorpost. And 2,000 years ago, our Savior went to Calvary and became our lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But ladies and gentlemen, Calvary is not enough. So Jesus, as our lamb, was slain as our high priest. He rose again. That's why it's necessary. We need more than a lamb. We need a high priest. We need more than a cross. We need an empty tomb. And so Jesus, our lamb, suffered on Calvary and paid the penalty. But up from the grave he arose as our high priest. And he took his own blood and sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And it's there at this very moment. And that's why he rose from the dead. Because his blood shed on Calvary must be there in the presence of our Heavenly Father. That's why he said to Mary Magdalene in his resurrection body. He said, touch me not. Why? He said, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He goes to the Father, sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat, comes back to the upper room, and Thomas says, I won't believe till I feel the scars. And Jesus said, reach out and touch me. Why did he say to Mary Magdalene, touch me not? And why did he say to Thomas, touch me? Because between the time he had seen Mary Magdalene in the garden, he had gone to heaven and sprinkled his own blood on heaven's mercy seat. That's why we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the reason Christ rose from the dead was that he might be our high priest. He who was my lamb must rise so he can be my high priest to take his own blood and sprinkle that blood in heaven's mercy seat. And that's why death has been destroyed. That did it. With the resurrection, death died. With the resurrection, tears became terminally ill. With the resurrection, sorrow entered a hospice. With the resurrection, pain was sentenced to death. With the resurrection, death lost its sting. And the grave lost its victory. With the resurrection, sickness was fatally wounded. With the resurrection, the I was became the I am. The I am became the I will be, and the I will be became I always will be. With the resurrection, Satan was kept consigned to be confined. With the resurrection, this disease will soon decease. With the resurrection, cancer's days are numbered. With the resurrection, sin will soon be executed. With the resurrection, suffering will soon be exterminated. With the resurrection, heartbreak will be broken. Bondage will be bound. With the resurrection, slavery will be enslaved. Expiration will expire. Death will die. The grave will be buried. Internment will be interned. Condemnation will be condemned. And bless God, entombment shall be entombed. Why? Because death has been consigned to die. And we had a service right here Friday morning. One of our members, been a member here for many, many years. We say he died, but he did not die. That was the shadow of death. That's all. And the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, a shadow of a gun can't shoot. A shadow of a serpent can't bite. The shadow of a knife can't cut. The shadow of a beast can't attack. The shadow of a fire can't burn. The shadow of a thief cannot steal. The shadow of a sword cannot pierce. The shadow of a cloud cannot rain. The shadow of a bee cannot sting. And the shadow of death cannot kill you. I've got good news for you, brother. We will not die. This body may cease to breathe, but as soon as this body shall cease to breathe, like the cocoon, we shall rise, and our spirit shall be with our wonderful Savior. Before the resurrection, death was the end. After the resurrection, death is now the beginning. Before the resurrection, death was a closet. After the resurrection, death was a vestibule leading to the holy city. Before the resurrection, death was a sunset. Now, death is a sunrise. Before the resurrection, death was a cul-de-sac. Now, death is a thoroughfare, a Broadway leading to the holy city. Before the resurrection, death was a hospice. Now it's a recovery room. Before the resurrection, death was hell. And now it's the entrance into the holy city. Before the resurrection, death was a sentence. Now it's a pardon. Before the resurrection, death was a matriculation. Now death is graduation. Before the resurrection, death was December 31st. After the resurrection, death is now an eternal January the 1st. Before the resurrection, death was a judgment seat. Now it's a mercy seat. Before the resurrection, death was a lake of fire. Now it's a river of life. Before the resurrection, death was a consignment. Now it is a commencement. Before the resurrection, death was late Saturday night. But now it's always Sunday morning. Why? He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today! He walked with me. Up from the grave he arose. And when he rose from the grave, all of these things. But I've got some good news for you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is about to be manifested in this audience this morning. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to raise you from your sins to His righteousness. To raise you from a life of misery to a life of joy. To raise you from eternity of hell fire to an eternity of golden streets. To raise you from eternity with the devil to an eternity with Jesus Christ. And right here this morning, in this room, that same power that reached down and raised Jesus Christ from the dead is going to take people lost in their sins on their way to hell. And this morning, in your very presence, the resurrection is going to take place as people in this room who walked in these doors on their way to hell are going to walk out these doors on their way to heaven. That same power can transfer you from the second death to the second birth. That same power can transfer you from temporary life to eternal life. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can make you a new creature. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and register you in Heaven's Book. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can blot your sins out from God's records. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can reserve a home in heaven for you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can raise you from the power of death and change your future from eternal death to eternal life. I said this morning, right here in this room, we can look at you and say, He is not here. He's risen. He's trusted Christ as His Savior. This morning, you realize that you're a sinner. Realize that as a sinner, you're lost on your way to hell without hope, without God, without Christ, without a future except hell. But this morning, you realize that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, walked the sandy shores of Galilee and the sandy hills of Judea, and was despised, rejected of men, and lived a perfect life. Realize that He went to the cross, and on the cross, He paid your penalty. He suffered your payment. He suffered your hell. And this morning, you realize that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that Jesus paid the penalty. And you this morning say, this Easter Sunday morning, 2000, on this day, I'm accepting Christ as my personal Savior and trusting Him. That moment, up from death, you arise to a life that's a born-again Christian's one. I have some better news. For those of you this morning who are saved, I have some news for you. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that same Spirit that dwells in you. What does that mean? That means that the empty tomb God offers to those of you who are not saved, eternal life, resurrection from death, resurrection from hell, to a life eternally in the city of God. But also, He comes to the child of God this morning. He says to you, I can resurrect you from your sins. You can have victory over liquor, and you won't need Alcoholics Anonymous. This morning, He comes to... I don't care who the alcoholic is. Jesus comes and says, that same Spirit that reached down in that sepulcher 2,000 years ago and lifted that body of Christ out of the grave and made Him live forever, that same Spirit is available to you. And I promise you, you won't have to make one trip to Alcoholics Anonymous. If you'll yield yourself to the mighty Spirit of God, He'll deliver you from that liquor. You can have victory over your tobacco. And you won't have to use Nicorettes. By that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over fornication without rehabilitation. By the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over your narcotics without a psychiatrist or drying out. By the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over your hot temper. By the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over your pornography. By the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over your stinking rock music by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over your sex obsession by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over your bitterness by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over your hatred by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You can have victory over your bad disposition by the same Spirit. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That same mighty Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead lives right in here this morning. He lives here. He lives here. He lives there. You don't have to be bound by some sin. He can raise you from your sin and the bondage of your sin. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can resurrect your life and make it useful again. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can resurrect your marriage and make it happy again. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can resurrect the dead church and make it live again. That same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead can resurrect your home and make it peaceful again. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can resurrect your hopes and make them alive again. That same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead can resurrect your dreams and make them live again. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can resurrect your purpose in life and make it live again. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we come this morning and we say, He was in the grave. Thank God He rose. And that's true, but there's more to it than that. That same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead came into your life to live the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. And is still the resurrection power. Thank God. He's not dead. He's risen. Mary comes to the sepulcher. The angel is there. The angel said, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. A Christian friend was on an airplane. He's witnessing to the fellow beside him. And the fellow beside him wouldn't get saved. And the fellow beside him sort of mocked at his religion. And he had a little crucifix hanging around his neck. Brother, if I ever hang something around my neck, it'll be an empty tomb, not a crucifix. And he said, What? This fellow said, What is this, your religion? What is it, your religion? And my friend took his fellow traveler of the shoulders and shook him good and hard and began to say, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along nice narrow way. He lives. I said He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. Bless God, He lives within my heart. The empty tomb's not enough as long as you have an empty life. The empty tomb's not enough as long as you have an empty heart. You let the Savior that rose from the dead come inside your heart and live in your heart. I'm saying that He is still in the resurrection business. Easter Sunday. Something special. Down south they have something on Easter Sunday we don't have. It's called the sun. Sunshine. Hang around a few years. You'll see it here. It comes and makes a visit occasionally. But all over America, people today have on their Easter bonnets. We up here, call them Easter umbrellas. Have their Easter bonnets. And their nice new clothes. And all over America, this is a special day. People assembled at cemeteries this morning for sunrise services. Ecumenical services were held all across America today at sunrise. And people went to the graves and remembered their loved ones at sunrise. And people will come today and flock to our churches by the millions upon millions upon millions to talk about the resurrection. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not enough. An empty tomb is not enough. I need that same power to give me strength. I need that same Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I talked to Him this morning early. I talked to Him. He's as much alive today as He was 2,000 years ago. And this morning, He comes to you and He says, I'd like to resurrect you so that someday, oh, the choir sang about it a while ago. The next time He comes, He won't come to go to a cross. The next time He comes, He'll come to go to a throne. The next time He comes, He won't come as a dying Savior. The next time He comes, a Savior who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And when He comes, I chandler at this Memory Lane Cemetery, the body of my mama is going to come out of that grave. Why? Because His body came out of the grave 2,000 years ago. Right beside my mama, my little grandson's going to come out, who's buried out at the same place, out of that grave. And I can see Dr. John Rice, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and Lester Olof. I can see my Uncle Harvey, my Uncle Roy. I can see my mama. Thank God today. Oh, hallelujah. He lives. He lives. And you know why I know my mama's going to be raised from the dead? Because the Bible says that Christ was the first fruits and the main harvest of the same resurrection is going to come one of these days. So right here in this room this morning, you can trust the living Christ. Easter doesn't mean anything to you if you don't know you're going to heaven when you die. What good is Easter to you? I'm not as concerned about whether He rose again as I am whether I'm going to rise someday. And bless God, I will rise. And you can also. Why don't you make Easter Sunday morning, 2000 A.D., the day when you rise from your sins and rise to His righteousness? Why don't you make Easter Sunday morning, 2000, the day when you rise from spiritual death to spiritual life? Why don't you make Easter Sunday morning, 2000, the day that you decide that you're going to make a decision to put your trust in Christ and go to heaven when you die? Sometime you got to do it. Sometime you got to do it. Sometime between the birth and death, you're going to have to look this thing square in the eyeball and make a decision to receive Christ as your Savior. Now, what better time can you do it than Easter Sunday? And what better day than Easter Sunday 2000? In just a moment, we're going to have the choir to sing, and we're going to stand. And I want each of you that never have trusted Christ, I don't care whether you join this church or not. We're not trying to get you in our church role. I don't care whether you become a Baptist or what. I don't care about that. I just want you to be sure you're going to rise when Jesus comes again. That's all. Why don't you walk down this aisle this morning? Why don't you say, yes, I'm trusting Christ as my Savior? I've thought about it often. I wondered sometime if I shouldn't do it. And there have been times I thought about it more. But today, Easter 2000 A.D., why don't you walk down the aisle and say yes to Christ? And if you're here this morning and you're saved, let me remind you that temper you've got that's about to destroy your marriage can be destroyed by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that liquor and that nicotine and that hatred and that bitterness, the same mighty Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can raise you from your bitterness and raise you from your liquor and raise you from your hatred and raise you from your revenge and raise you from your hot temper and raise you from your anger. Let this be the hour when you say, by the grace of God, I'm accepting that same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. Thank God today, He is not dead. He's risen and is alive forevermore. Our Heavenly Father.